This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. I am Leonard Sands.
And I am Debbie Deal.
And we are happy to be inside your homes, cars, and on your radios this afternoon. Now, last week, we had a good show talking about the cost of construction. Cost of what it costs, and not the whole construction. You just talked about foundation of a home, typical 2,000 square foot home. Mm-hmm. And I imagine everyone was, you know, very shocked and awed with the price we'd end up with so far.
We were only at number 8.
And we were number 8, and we were over some $27,000, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that line item?
I can't see.
Yeah. I think we were at $27,000.
Yeah, I think so.
$25,570. Yeah. Right. For perspective, a good friend of mine just finished quoting a foundation only, that means a concrete slab, of a project for a client of his, 3,600 square foot. Debbie, you would like to guess what that cost was?
The foundation? I'd say about $52,000, $53,000. That's what I'm thinking. What?
$140,000.
Wow.
On my phone. I went through every line item. It's a lot of walls.
The foundation, though, just the foundation.
Foundation slab, yeah.
Well, don't forget, we were doing a Mickey Mouse house. We were doing just a rectangle.
Yeah, I know.
We weren't doing any interior ones. Remember, because I kept saying that. No, we're just doing this.
This has all the interior walls. I got you.
So all the bells and whistles then. Yeah, so, I got you.
It is what it is.
I got
you. And I'm quite sure it's going to shock the person who receives it. But, you know, people... 3,600 square foot is not a small home.
No, especially when you have to clean it.
And I think just for the listening audience who may not appreciate that, you have to understand some common denominators in your home costs. You just have to understand that size matters. Mm-hmm. Size matters. Size matters. Size matters. Mm-hmm. There is no surprise. Let me ask you something, Debbie, because I know you haven't done one, so I'm going to go in a gross assumption, and I know I'm right. Do you know what the average three-bed, two-bath government home is? And they call it a government home, but it's a home that's built by the Ministry of Housing.
With the property or just the house?
No, just the house. The property is not...
I mean, how much they're charging?
No, no.
People?
I want to know what the
size... Oh, in
the
real
size,
life. In real
the
life.
Size. Of the, not the cost, the size.
Oh, I thought they were like around 900 square feet to maybe 1,100 square
feet.
Yeah,
900 to 1,100 square feet.
Right, yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. Have you met a client who came to you and wanted a 900 square foot home?
Back in the day, yes.
I'm not talking about back in the day. I'm talking about 2025.
No. No. And it's sad because your electricity bill would be cheaper,
I know all the great things. You know what? I've never met a client ever. I've been at this over 20 years. Ever met a client who wanted a 900, nor a 1,000, nor I've had the bills or been or asked to provide a cost for has been over 2,500 square foot.
Even the family islands?
I've never done something on the family islands. I don't know. But so every home.
I've had some people.
Only Nassau. So I'm very Nassau centric. So the Haymans don't want small homes.
Right.
They don't. So I won't even enter into those conversations.
Well, I guess.
They only can afford it, honestly, but they don't want it.
Well, there's a number of reasons now. You know, the situation with our country right now with Airbnbs, there's hardly any rentals. And if you do get a rental, it's going to cost you more than it would cost you to build 10 houses.
That's,
when your kids come back from school, they can't afford to have their own, buy their own property.
I hear that.
In-laws, when you have in-laws that have to move out where they need to come and stay all with that, you because, so there's a lot of reasons why people do want the larger homes.
Okay.
Okay?
But I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. For the last 20 years, that's before the whole Airbnb, no one still wanted a 900 square foot, not that I've ever met.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Every home that I've built or been asked to provide a cost for has been over 3,000 square feet.
Well,
okay. So I'm just saying, that tells me something. That tells me that there is an appetite for what Bahamians consider a modestly decent-sized home. Bigger than I'd like, but that's what they like. Because I've never seen someone come and say, I have 1,500 square foot, I like a home. Never, ever, ever, ever. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Having said that, and we're just talking off cover, you know, about what it means. It means that now more and more people are desirous of a home that they can afford rather than a home that they want, which stands to reason why there are some 12,000 people probably on the wait list for homes in these nice communities. And I'll say the communities are nice, and the models that are building are very
nicer
nice.
Than they have been.
They're around 960 to just under 1,100 square feet. But they're nice for that size. And I will tell anyone, if those are the choices that you get a pretty decent home there. But if you want a 2,000 square foot plus home, now you're entering into the private sector building market where the cost of things are not going to be subsidized by the government. The cost of building is going to be at the cost to build things.
Right.
And you're going to be spending the monies that we talked about.
And when we talk about a house, we're talking about the house and the property. At the end of the day,
I'm only talking about a house.
Right. I know, but I'm just saying, when persons are building a government.
Oh, yeah, they get house and property.
House and property. That's what I mean.
Yeah, we're just talking about the house.
Right.
We're contractors. I mean. We're talking about the house.
Right.
You should have your property when you call me.
Right.
I'm not in the real estate business. I got friends in there, but you know, I call my realtor friends all the time. So I say, listen, when you sell the property, the next call I should get is from the client you sell it to. You know,
right. If you're not bragging on me, you're not my friend, right?
We ain't cool like that. No. So again, let's continue with this because I want us to take the first 15 minutes of the show and let's complete this as we can, Debbie.
Yeah, I brought extra paper.
Thank you.
I wasn't sure how many more houses we were going to do today.
And when we get at the end of this, then we can go into our exciting news about our course that we're going to talk about. So Debbie, you're writing this again. You got your glasses? Let's put your glasses on.
Yeah, I have my glasses, and I brought pens. I'm a good girl. Okay. I remember pretty much everything.
So. Yeah. We're going to continue from number 9, which is edge form, the concrete block work for a slab. We got 2,000 square foot, which we said was 30 by 20. So we got 30 60, 20 40. We got 100 linear feet. What you want to give me a cost is for material and labor to edge form that slab. You want to put a number there? Give me a number.
So 200 linear feet?
100 linear feet. So we got 30 each side and 20, 20, 20.
Oh, we're doing 30, 20.
30 by 20, yeah.
Oh, all right. Okay, so 100 linear feet.
Oh, sorry. I was right. You were right the first time. 200 linear feet. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Linear feet. And this is just the one.
Edge wood,
Or the plywood, however you decide to do it.
Yeah, yeah. Edge form, yeah. Just running board feet.
Okay.
Just give me a cost for that.
Well, let me see. that's not the labor, just the material, would be probably, I'm going to say with using 1x8, because that's what I would do.
Very little to nail in with 1x8. Yeah. Give me something to fasten on. Because I get 32 running foot out of a piece of plywood.
So you do the plywood. Okay, mm-hmm. So 200 divided by 32 is, so let's say 7 sheets.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
At $35 a sheet.
Yeah. Okay, 210. Let's say 250.
250.
250 for the materials, and then the nails. That's just the wood, and then the mm-hmm. nails. That's
put screws, $50 in there.
$50 for mm-hmm. that, and then the labor. Do that.
Got a carpenter and a helper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they have some kind of a laser level.
Yeah, or with small tools, they come with those. So.
Yeah. Okay.
You want to put that at $300, $200 for the carpenter, and $100 for the labor.
Maybe it probably cost you more because you're doing it piece. If you were doing more of the house, mm-hmm. they'd probably give you a better deal. But if you're just doing it piece. They probably would charge a bit more, but we'll just put 300 there mm-hmm. for now, just to make it easier. Okay. Zero, 600.
$600.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good.
Tell me what.
There's nothing in there, just so you know. There's nothing in there for the contractor. That's just so. Let's help people understand how, because people think every dollar goes to us. Let's help them.
Oh,
so that's just to run the edge form. Now. There's no overhead and profit at all of that. I like to do overhead and profit at percentage. Mm-hmm. So your cost is $600, right? Mm-hmm. Overhead and profit, what is your percentage? Do you do a percentage?
Well,
I do percentage.
It should be 20, but sometimes I'll do 15.
Okay. 15 is tight as hell. But okay. Let's say
20%. Yes, yeah, so that's $120.
So that's $120.
And I put that just a percentage thing.
Okay, good.
So
now you got 10. No, you can't do it yet. VAT on the $600. Material and labor at 10%.
You can't
put it on the.
You can't put VAT on your percentage.
You can't put VAT on that. You can't put VAT on your markup.
You can't. Why not?
You can't put VAT on the markup.
It's income.
No, but you can't put VAT on the markup because the markup is a fee. But you can't put a VAT on the fee.
So then plus $60.
Right.
Plus $60.
No, what the total is now?
Is 0008. 780.
Yeah. So to edge form the slab mm-hmm. is $780.
Yeah.
So
what was our subtotal?
25,570. So start with our 25,570. We're adding on to it.
Perfect.
And just put 9 there so we know this item number 9. Put 9 on the side of it.
Okay. 9 over there because that's what we did
so
the rest.
You have to add it right at the bottom there. 780.
You want me to put it there. Okay.
780. 10. Roughing electrical, one of your good electricians, which just give me a price what he's going to give you for roughing because you do this all the time. Mm-hmm. You get a roughing price.
Well,
2,000 square foot.
So the house would probably be about 30,000, maybe 25,000 for electrical.
That's low.
That's low?
Very.
Well, you were doing like a higgly piggly little house with not much stuff. No rooms and all that kind of, no like... Support rooms.
No, not that's don't support in the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
But we're gonna have rooms.
Okay.
I'd say you'd be fair to do electrical at $45,000. I think it can't be less than that.
Okay. So then he or she would probably want at least 15 to 20% up front.
I think that's a bit. Let's go with 15%. I think
20
is right. That's 15% of your $45,000.
Okay. So the electrician is 10.
10,000?
Is, huh?
Would you say 10? Oh, that's number 10, rough
right.
in electrical.
Yeah. And
so we have 45,000 mm-hmm. and times 15%.
Mm-hmm.
So we got 6,750.
All right.
Put it right down there.
6,750.
Right under there.
750.
So what I would do, Debbie, put 9 here.
Okay.
Just, and then put 10 here so we can keep our track this way.
Okay. All right.
And now plumbing. Rough and plumbing.
And you said the electricals cost is going to be like
$45,000.
Okay.
Yeah. So we just know what the total budget is.
Yeah, but
is.
I need that because when we get to the next stages, if we ever did decide to do this
and
pretend, we'd know what to add in.
So now number 11, rough mm-hmm. and plumbing.
Okay.
And on a fairly say, plumbing is always less than electricals.
Plumbing
is what, 20, 26,000?
Yeah, I would say that.
Oh, you want to say 25. 25 is even, let's go 25,000.
Okay.
Yeah, plumbing, rough and plumbing. Total project, $25,000. You need a percentage of it in the foundation. 10%, 10% too low. I think you go 15 again.
Yeah, at least, because you're going to have to put in your water lines and your drain lines and all that, as well as...
so you're $3,750.
Okay. That's plumbing.
Good. Now, we did note that you have to have a portable toilet on the site. Mm-hmm. Monthly fee is $480.
And is that included? That's number 12?
Yeah.
Okay. So the porta potty.
Yeah. It's 12 for $480. That's your monthly cost there. And you shouldn't take one.
And hang on, we didn't. And now again, the only one that we've added a percentage to right now.
Yeah.
Is
we didn't do no markup.
Nine.
Right, and so we didn't We have to do markup on the electrical and plumbing. So let's add in. Times the 20%. So on this, the markup is $750. Mm-hmm. On the plumbing number, $750. So that's adding the plumbing number.
That's your percentage, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So six, 750?
Mm-hmm. 10%. 10.4.
That's equal to 1350. 1350. 1350? Mm-hmm. 1350.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's percentage. Okay. And then the VAT would be 675.
Yep, 675.
75.
And the VAT on the plumbing cost?
$375. Right, and I don't really have a space to add this up, so I'm going to have to go.
No, we put it on all the way on that side. Yeah. So the total line item for the electrical rump end would be $675 mm-hmm. plus $1,350.
Yeah, plus $675.
Plus $675. That totals $8,775.
$8,775. Okay.
The cost on the slab is the 4875. It's 4875.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Good.
Okay.
Now, we on to line item number 13. During this work, you got to have some of the store things, cement, wood,
equipment. How much was the porta potty again?
The porta potty was $480
for a year.
Hmm?
For a year?
No.
$480 a month.
For a month.
$480 a month.
A month.
Wow. $480 a month.
Things have gone up a lot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So that was line item number 12.
Yeah. Okay. 12. So let me ask you a question. The foundation will be done in a month.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we just keep everything in mind. So we move very quickly.
480 plus 48 percentage, right?
Plus the, markup on there.
48 percentage.
Mm-hmm.
And then the $48 for VAT.
Mm-hmm, $48 for VAT. So total cost?
560, 576.
Plus how much?
576. 480 and 8 would be 560.
This is 48 toys?
578. I still think 578.
578.
Yeah.
Let's go. Good. So that's your portable for that month. Cost. Yeah. Proper sanitation.
Mm-hmm.
Storage shed.
Yeah. Do you build a shed or do you take a container or do you
I build and then demo it.
All right. Okay.
I build a demo.
So rather than just buying what you need as you need it and having it delivered to the site.
I still do that, but you don't want to be hauling your tools back and forth, so you have to sublease.
Oh, I'd never leave my tools on a job site.
Oh, no, I do it all the time.
Never.
Locker,
okay.
So.
Okay, so storage.
$1,000 to build a shed.
Okay.
Materials are going to run you about $600, and the guy can knock it up. Your carpenter can knock it up in a day.
Okay, so $1,000.
Yeah.
For the materials?
Right. No, that's materials and...
Well, that's material and labor?
Yeah, constructing that, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's not a big shed.
I would never be able to get mine to do that, but okay.
So 8x8
shed.
L&M,
and then $100 percentage.
Mm-hmm.
No,
20%, so 200.
Are we doing 20%?
You were doing one?
We're
doing 20%.
Oh, I didn't add 20% to the other ones.
That's fine.
Anyway, we're going to leave it at this point in time. So then 200.
200.
Yeah.
And then 100 for VAT.
Yeah.
So that's 1,300.
Mm-hmm.
We're almost there.
Yeah.
Now we are putting fill inside the foundation. Now let's go
including
to our
one. The fill or just the equipment to do it?
No, just the fill. So we got, let's do this by cubic yards now. We got a building now, a 2,000 square foot. We said the building was
20 by 30. And 3 feet.
No, that would make, that's 2 threes is six. We had one that, but 30 by four. We had, how much we got? We said 2,000 square feet.
2,400 square feet is what we were doing. Oh, no, that's the quote we were doing for
something. Yeah. So we have.
20 by 30 hold is 60.
The 20 by 30 is only 60.
Right, 60, and then you divide that.
No, that's not our area, though. If we say that's area, if we said we're
a
doing
cubic,
something for...
A cubic yard.
No, I'm not talking about that, Debbie. I'm saying we say that the area is 2,000. We have to start with 2,000 square feet. We haven't established the dimension for... It's 30 by 60.
Oh, that's what we're doing.
Right.
30 by 60.
Yes. 30 by 60.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's
it was 1,800 square feet. Yes.
Right. Not right. And if we did it times three,
which is actually almost two low-cost government homes.
Right. So if we did
that's what
it,
this home is.
So if the foundation was 3 feet, right?
Yeah.
Then we would just divide that by
I do it this way.
Three.
So here's how I do it, Debbie. So I take the 1,800 square foot times three, which gives you 1,500 square foot divided by cubic feet, which is 27, and I got 200 cubic yards.
Okay.
200 cubic yards, a 20-yard truck, right?
Yeah.
Is 480 now.
Okay.
20 could go into 200. 10
so
times.
Right. Okay. So it's 10
trucks. 10 trucks at 480.
Trucks at 480.
Yes. Which is $4,800.
That's for the trucking and the delivery. Okay.
Yes.
So hang on a second. So something else I wanted to ask you. And again, you're doing it with not compression. Not yet.
That's just the fill. Now we're going to do the compression. We have
so
to add compaction.
So this is just
code. That's just fill.
So how's it? So we're not even pricing how we're getting it into the foundation.
No,
yet.
That's just the fill yet. That's just fill. We're not even putting compaction costs in there. If I want to do compaction costs, fact it, I can need another yard, another truckload of fill.
Right, but hang on. You still, the dump truck can't just dump the fill into the actual foundation.
I know, that's what I'm going to say. And so I hire a Bobcat, too, to load it and then roll compact it as they're loading.
So the Bobcat and the roller will be later. It will not be.
No, once it dumps it in, he's there at the same time.
Okay, so then we are adding heavy equipment.
Yes, but I'm just to add line item, just this. Now let's add the heavy equipment into it. It's still the same line item number 14.
Okay, so we did 10 truckloads of fill at 480.
4,800.
Right, okay.
Okay, the equipment, separate that, is $1,000. Because it's really at about 100 and, first 3 hours at 360. And then about $175 an hour after
that's
that.
That's for the Bobcat?
That's for the Bobcat, yeah.
Right. And then what about the roller or the temp? The mechanical roller or the temp?
You put that in after I done get everything in the filling with the Bobcat. And then you go and temp that afterwards.
Right. So we're not putting that in this price then?
We'll leave that up for right now.
Okay. So then we will just, then we have...
That's 580.
580.
800. Yeah.
Plus 480 for the VAT.
And
plus 20%
of 5.8.
200 is the percentage.
6 months. Yeah, not 200. No, of this. Not that.
Oh.
1,160.
Okay.
So now we have to do it. 1,160 plus 480 plus 48. Oh,
7440.
Slightly less. 6440. What did I miss?
Oh, well, the 8 and the 4 comes to 12, so you're going to have to carry a 1, so you're 13.
No, but you got 1 here.
That's the 1 that's carried, and that's the 1 from the 1160. So 5 and 1 and 1, 7.
Oh, I got 4880. It's 5880. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. 7440. Yep.
Okay, so that's 7440.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now you're at number 14. This is assuming you don't get compaction all that now.
Well, we've done 14. We now we're on to 15.
15, yep. which is termite treatment.
Okay. They have a square footage price. Yeah, I never know.
Square foot price is usually between 50 cents per square foot. It's not a lot.
Okay.
50 cents per square foot.
So 18, we have 1,800 times 50%.
It's $900. That's our average price. 50 cents a square foot.
All right. So 15 will be $900.
$90 is VAT.
90 for VAT.
180 is our markup.
And 180. Oh, we're getting rich for that 180. That'll help pay the mortgage. Yes. 0, 0. Well, everybody thinks we get
1170,
rich.
1170.
Everybody thinks we get rich.
They are.
They do, don't they?
And now we're almost at the end. What? YMH?
Well, hang on. One thing that they don't take into consideration is we are giving the price that we think it should be based on all of this calculation. Mm-hmm. If there's anything that we've forgotten or if we're wrong, we eat that.
Yeah, we eat
God. We can't go back to the client and say, listen, we forgot 20 sheets of plywood, or we didn't add the nails and screws, or we needed extra fill, or we didn't realize that there was a sinkhole, and all. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All those things, they don't consider the fact that
the
profit
risk
that we make has to take into consideration all of those
things. And errors, and omissions,
errors,
and all kind of things.
Yes, because if we added everything in, nobody would want to pay.
No. But anyway, let's continue. We're almost at the end. I'm very excited.
Yep.
6x6 wire mesh install, supply and install,
mm-hmm.
is about $600.
All right, and how much of an overlap do you do?
At least 18 inches.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're going to need two rules for
two
that.
Two rules?
Yeah, you can need two rules. You're really going to only use for the rule and a half, but you can't buy a rule and a half.
Yeah.
So you got to get two rules.
Okay, so that's $1,200.
$1,200, so let's put that $1,200.
$1,200. Plus the VAT of 120 and our huge, amazing profit of $120. Yeah, we're getting rich now.
Double whatever VAT is. So if VAT was...
Oh, it's 240.
Yeah, 240. So okay. Ours is E. Once you calculate what VAT is, ours is just double that.
Okay, so we're loaded now. We are so loaded. Okay, 0651.
Okay.
1560, right?
1560, that's correct.
Yeah, okay.
And so now, concrete.
Okay. This is where the concrete companies get rich.
Yeah, that's calculated this way. So we have 1,800 square feet. I'll do the quick math on that. Mm-hmm. We have 1,800 square feet.
Yep.
And this is why I keep telling persons when I taught at UB, this is why I tell them how to always do math. You keep inches is inches, right?
Yeah.
1,800 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
Times 4 inches,
mm-hmm.
which converts to decibel, is 0.33. Right?
Whatever it's supposed to be, I usually do 6, because I will guarantee you somehow it's going to end up being 6.
0.33 is 594 divided by 27, which gives you cubic feet. 22 cubic yards of concrete. The cost of concrete for 3,000 PSI is $270 per cubic yard.
So multiply that by 22.
And 22 times
270.
Mm-hmm. 5,940. Now let's go with our.
Oh, we didn't do the block holes, man.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do the block holes.
So let's add another 5 cubic yards for grouting the block holes. So let's change the number to.
So multiply 5 times 270 for me.
We just add that to do?
Yeah, I'm just going to add that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 270 times 5. Mm-hmm. That's another $1,375.
Right. Mm-hmm. Even if you try to stuff rocks and Coke cans and everything in it, you're still end up needing the concrete.
You don't want to stuff rocks. So that's $1,375 plus the 5. 5 how much? 940?
5940, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gives us a grand total of 7315 before we start to do markup and VAT.
Okay, so the
7395 plus VAT is
7395.
Sorry, 7315.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The VAT. That.
And we get a huge bunch of money.
10% out of 731. We keep the 50 cents off.
Mm-hmm.
731. And ours then is 1462.
Yeah. All right, so now we're getting like we might be able to make we might be able to get this job done.
Plus, plus my total there was 7315. Mm-hmm. 7315. That's a grand total. The poured out concrete slab is 9508. No, guess
plus
what?
No labor.
We haven't added labor in there.
No labor.
So you can need you can do it in a day. You can probably need at least, I would say, three helpers and at least one mason. That's four persons.
Anyway.
You could do two masons, but three helpers and two masons, just to move around stuff. So the masons had $200 and the helpers had 100 each. So two and two is four, and the three helpers is three. That's $700.
There's no way. I could never, ever find a mason and helper to do that job for $700. I can guarantee you that's going to be about $1,800.
Well,
guarantee you that's what I would end up having to pay.
Yeah, but I assume that they work for me, and that's the daily rate. $200 a day, so I'm carrying the labor costs. Oh. I don't sub that out.
But they work basis, so they're used to that.
They always
like
working
just,
for me.
It,
no,
it,
I'm not.
So it's not like you're just randomly hiring them.
No, they're employees,
something.
Right? So that's right.
Okay. All right.
So, but you want to put it at $1,000 to make it creative. Put it at $1,000. Put it all in $1,000.
Less than $1,000.
And that's still very low.
Labor. Yeah.
So we got
that. What's that total now? 7, 8, 9, 10.
No. It was 9.5. We just add 9.508 plus 1,000. That's all we're doing. We got it because we already summed all that up. 10.508. Now let's add the markup.
I've done the markup.
No, you haven't added the markup in.
I've done the 1460 up there.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and
we
I've
did.
Done the
yeah, we just
there,
added the labor.
Right?
Yeah, good. So 10.508. That's our total line item.
17 and 18 is the last one.
Okay.
All right.
That's it.
Yep.
Good. So now our first line cost was $25,000. Let's add.
Where's 18?
Where's
17? Are
we done?
Oh, all right. Okay.
Good.
Okay.
So let's add them all up now.
Okay.
You give me the numbers and I will add it up. So start with the $25,000. Let's go from the beginning.
Right.
Just give me the totals.
All right. So the next one you're going to add on.
So $25,000, how much?
$25,570.
$570.
Yeah.
Plus?
$780.
Plus 780. Next.
8,775.
Next. $578.
Uh-huh.
That was the portable toilet.
It was.
78.
Yeah.
Next.
And the next one is $1,300.
Mm-hmm.
That's the storage shed.
Yep.
The fill and putting it in,
$7,440.
Termite treatment,
$1,170. Mm-hmm.
Number 16 is this wire mesh.
Mm-hmm.
It's $1,560.
$1,560.
The concrete.
Concrete,
is,
last number.
It's the last number.
$10,508. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a 1,800 square feet foundation to slab pour complete at a cost of $62,556.
Mm-hmm.
Let's help them understand that's the first number.
Right.
Out of that, VAT is, tell them, Debbie, $6,255. So write that down, $6,000.
Yeah.
So you just know that's VAT. That's not ours. Just put it there so we can know what it is.
But I would.
It's not adding into it. It's just showing out of the number what it is. I just want people to understand.
That, this is a total.
Just that's the total.
That,
but out of that total, VAT is
62.
Uh-huh.
60.
Mm-hmm.
And then percentage.
Times our money out of that. The only money we make out of that is 20%.
Mm-hmm.
Which is 12,511. Now, that's overhead and profit.
Right.
That's not profit.
No.
That's the cost of doing the work included in management of the job or the logistics and the profit.
Right.
Reality is profitability out of that is probably about 5 to 7% out of that number, which is 12,511. Let's say times 7%, only about, that's profit.
$875.
That's profit.
Wow.
Now, if you want to say, let's go back the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to the 12,000, I want to show someone something. 12,511, right? Mm-hmm. And let's say out of that, our profit, remember that's overhead and profit at 20%. Let's say our profit was half of that.
Oh, God.
Right?
So that'd be $430.
No.
We could buy
let's
groceries.
Say our profit is half of the 12.
Right. I did that.
That's 50% mm-hmm. of it, which mm-hmm. would be 10%. Mm-hmm. We'd say our profit is 6,800.
Okay.
Because it'd be 50%. I just said profit at 7%.
Right.
And say profit at 50%.
Have you ever had profit at 50%?
I've never had profit at 50%.
Yeah.
Let's say profit on that number was 20% or 30%. Let's say 30%.
Yeah.
Of that number. We'd make $3,753, which on that scope of work is still fair.
$3,753?
Yeah. That's what the contractor would take home.
Yeah, that's still not... Anyway.
I know.
Yeah.
So the music is playing. So yes. here's what I want everyone to take in. We went through this laborious exercise mm-hmm. two shows in. And we have four sheets of paper here.
Right.
And Debbie's going to post this to our website. We're going to post mm-hmm. this on the internet so y'all see the numbers. Your foundation, two slab, for an 1,800 square foot house. Is $62,000. So, plus or minus.
So, guess what?
Plus or minus.
You are going to have to make sure you get at least 25 to 30% up front so that you can actually do that. Your house is 300 and how many thousand did we figure the house was?
Yeah, at least 350,000, 400,000.
Right. I think it's 20% of that. So 20% of that is the cost for the
just to get that done.
And now no money to get to the next stage.
No, but let me tell you this is the banking scenario, and I have the bankers listening. If you need 20% to complete your slab, and on every single bank-approved stage payment proposal, they give you 10%.
Then I can't build your house.
You are 50% short of what you need. They give you $30,000 to build something that's at $62,000.
And I've heard some people say...
Contractor at stage one is in a financial bind.
I have heard so many people say that, well, if you're a builder, you should be able to front that. Why?
People say it all the time.
I already have my own house.
I
don't want to build that house.
I don't want to build your house.
I don't want to end up with that house.
I don't want
your own. I want my own house.
So we're going to do our first break, and we come back. We'll talk about the dynamics of why every contractor should know how to price things properly.
Oh, please,
because if you didn't, and you thought that 10% of that number was going to get you the house built, you're sadly mistaken.
That
we'll be back.
Dominoes is gone
after
heartbeat.
This break.
Yes.
When your building renovation projects are go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines. Maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
When we started StormFrame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we should process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the outhouses.
Fort Bahamas.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We're back to Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM.
And you can reach us at numbers 323-6232. We get very lonesome. You need to call us and tell us whether our numbers are 325-4316, 325-4259. And
that's 1-800-300. There's not 1-800. It's actually 242-300-5720.
That's from the Family Islands. Yeah, and then the text line is 422-4796.
4796. Yes. And so please, go ahead, call them, lines open. Mm-hmm. You could call and ask us a question. You could call and ask us about the numbers that we just discussed with you. We'd certainly like to talk about it. Contractors, you guys could chime in as well. I know you all are listening. Mm-hmm. If you have a difference of opinion on it, let's talk about it. But we're here to kind of educate the consumer. Educate the marketplace so you don't scream at a contractor when you say, "How this guy," and this is the thing they say a lot, "He charged me." No, he didn't charge you. That's what something costs.
Yes. It's like you go into the grocery store and they say that the cauliflower is $9 a head. That's not what he charged you.
No,
that's the cost. Everybody has to pay for that cauliflower.
So we have to be careful what we do in that instance. Right. So I want the public to understand that.
Yeah, I want to also do a shout out to our sponsors, because again, we wouldn't be able to do this show if we did not have sponsors, people who believed in us and listened on a regular basis and contribute to our survival. And we've been doing really well. And thank you so much for everybody. We have ARM Caribbean, CBS Pro Store, which is the one on Robinson Road, ART Development, if anybody doesn't know, that's the fiberglass solutions. And by the way, they also do tanks. They pressure clean and grind down tanks and do all that good stuff. Veritas Consultants, Insurance Management, The Paint Place, Trustco, Sebastian Alliance Group, Kalina General Insurance, and CMEX Bahamas.
And Debbie, thank you for that. And we have a text.
Oh, wow.
And we're going to go to this text line. Okay. So the first question was, what is the size of the foundation? The foundation square footage for the building was 1,800 square feet. We said that the building was 30 by 60. That's correct?
Yes.
It's 1,800 square feet.
Yes.
The second question the texter asks, what would be the percentage between foundation and bell cores and roof? And if you did a second floor, how would the second floor slab compare to the foundation? Now, let me take a first stab at only part of it, because Debbie and I, on the next shows, will have to work on the slab to the belt.
Okay.
That's phase two. Okay. We're only on phase one. I tell you, we're gonna build a whole house here. On air, you can get the cost of this entire house. So we can't tell you what this entire house is going to cost yet.
We're building this
one step at a time.
But that's how we have to come up with the price to
that's
build the house.
That's how we estimate it.
All we can tell you is this is what
your foundation to slab costs.
Correct.
That's all we know at this point in time.
Correct.
And that's the approach that contractors do it. They estimate your home. They don't guesstimate your home.
No.
Well, sorry, they shouldn't. They shouldn't say, "Oh, I think your house is going to cost this."
Yes.
They literally should take line by line, cost it out, and say, "This is what this phase costs. This is what the other phase." And we're building this house live on radio, so you understand for this. And everyone write it down, take a note. This is your typical 1,800 square foot home. Mm-hmm. Let's not compare this to a government home that's 980 square feet to 1,100 square feet. This is larger. Mm-hmm. This is 1,800 square feet.
Right.
Appreciate this conversation is about a home that's larger than that. We say it's a government low-cost home, which is a beautiful home, but not what we're talking about in this scenario.
Right.
Now, they talked about, and I just want to jump into this part of it, what would be the difference in cost between a ground floor slab and a elevator slab? Well, first of all, plenty things. You get a slab that's suspended in the air.
Right.
It's has a structural system that keeps it suspended.
Right.
The slab on grade is mm-hmm. resting on
fill,
which we put into earth and compact it, and that's what sustains the concrete slab.
And it's tied into the foundation.
And all
that
kind of stuff. Yes. Now you're talking about elevating something that sits mm-hmm. above the walls mm-hmm. on the belt beam mm-hmm. and has some type of structural member system. Mm-hmm. It can be wood. Mm-hmm. You really wouldn't put concrete on top of wood.
No,
so you'd probably have either suspended bar joists or a suspended slab.
Correct.
And for the purposes of conversation, bar joist system, the slab weight rests on the web joist.
Correct.
A suspended slab system, the weight of the concrete itself is supported by the structural reinforcement of the concrete slab, which means that, for example, when you look at a balcony, mm-hmm. that's a suspended slab.
Correct.
If it doesn't have pillars or piers, mm-hmm. and let's look at any balcony. Look at there by Bahama, Atlantis, mm-hmm. right. Rio, any hotel, mm-hmm. it's a short 4 feet
right.
suspended balcony. Yeah. Only the thickness of the concrete.
It's like a cantilever.
It's a cantilever.
Yeah.
The mm-hmm. thickness of the concrete mm-hmm. with the correct reinforcement supports
right.
that cantilever slab.
Right. Now, the engineering that goes into the floor. Now, think about this now. People don't understand this part at all. So once the house is built, you're going to want to put tiles on top of that floor.
Yep. Extra weight.
So the extra
engineer.
Yes. And then you're going to have to put bathtubs.
Toilets.
Well, a steel bathtub is heavy. Toilets, right?
Walls.
Walls on top of that.
Walls with then crown molding and sheetrock.
And baseboards and cabinets.
We're saying that your structural engineer
yes.
has to design. Mm-hmm. The either suspended floor slab mm-hmm. or your bar joist web floor slab that supports your concrete slab that supports the load.
Right.
That's not something you guess.
Right, and should know
that's
the kind
engineering
of flooring calculated. That you are putting on top of
you
that
have to, tell them.
To make sure, because you could be doing vinyl. Oh, God, don't
no.
anybody do it.
Yeah, but
you
no,
could be
no
doing wood.
Vinyl.
You
yeah.
could be doing wood.
Wood.
Not as much weight
no.
as but tile, which is what most people do, because nobody wants to... have to refinish a wood floor, and it's easier to mop a tile floor and
yeah.
keep it clean and keep bug free.
Yeah,
and all
so
that
it's
kind of
almost
stuff.
Standard
yeah.
for almost home. So mm-hmm. again, and goes to show too, one of the projects that I recently provided a cost for, I noticed I looked at the drawings and they gave me all the elevation, all the everything, interior stuff. I didn't get structural packets. I'm saying, where's your MEP? You need the MEP? Yeah, I need the MEP. How am I gonna price your two-story home if I don't know what is the structural system that is gonna be wood? Am I to assume it's gonna be web joists? Am I going to assume is cantilevered floor, suspended floor? I don't wanna assume.
No.
Your drawing should dictate to me what I'm
right.
pricing.
Because it's what you want. Not
it's what you
not
want,
what
not
want.
What I want.
Not what we want. We're just quoting what you want.
Exactly. And that's a great point, Debbie. I would love for clients, and I even could talk with my experience. I often have a difficult conversation with clients when they don't understand. Contractors provide a cost for your home based on your drawings.
And your specifications.
Not my home.
Right.
It's your home. You went to an architect. You told them what you wanted. They put what you wanted on paper. Mm-hmm. You gave that paper to a contractor. Mm-hmm. That contractor is providing a cost based on what that paper said you wanted in your
right.
home.
And that's what your building permit will be based on.
That's what we're building.
Yes.
Okay? So, and this is a conversation that you and I often have off air. I don't go in to redesign people's home. Mm-hmm. I am a robot when it comes to
yeah.
following the design intent of a drawing.
Yeah.
I follow what someone has drawn. I love architects to lead me. I'm not pretending to be an architect.
And I give lots of suggestions.
Yeah, not interested in that.
That's the difference between
a
guy and a girl.
I love architects to be the master builder uh-huh. and the builder on the site.
Yeah.
I'm going
to
build exactly
trouble,
what
I have trouble building things if I know that I don't want to build it because it's going to look horrible later on. I can't do that because I don't want my name attached
to
that.
And that's fine, but then... You could don't take on that project.
Yeah, well, that's,
yeah.
I don't. That's yeah. often what times what
yeah,
happens.
I don't,
yeah,
I don't have no emotional attachment to what I build. It's not
mm.
mine.
Mm.
So if the architect, a professional,
mm-hmm.
designed something,
mm-hmm.
it could be hideous.
Mm-hmm.
That's the person who's responsible for
right.
designing.
I don't want my name attached to that.
That's fine.
Yeah. You don't either.
I don't care about it. Oh. It's not important to me.
What?
I didn't design it.
Doesn't matter. They're going to look and say, who built your house?
No.
Debbie Deal built your house?
The answer is, I didn't design it. Well, see, I can't feel bad about that because I didn't design it.
Yeah. I would feel bad because I wouldn't want my name attached to that anyway. But why didn't she say something?
Because
why
that's
didn't
not
this?
Her job.
I know, but that's not what's going to be. That's not the conversations that are going to be at a cocktail
let me tell you what
party.
Looks
I'm
terrible.
Telling you that right now.
Let me tell you what looks terrible. I think a Hummer is a terrible looking vehicle.
Yep.
You know, the engineers who manufactured the Hummer is not the designer of the Hummer. You know, the people in the factory who assembled the Hummer is not the person who designed the Hummer.
Mm-hmm.
The person who designed the Hummer is the person who took
it. But they have a market for that. This one particular house, there is no market for that except for the person who...
I get it. Yeah. And every home that has been designed by someone for the intended person still has to be constructed by someone.
Yeah.
And I'm saying... As a professional who is hired to construct something, I stay in that box.
Oh, okay.
I don't, because I'm safe in the box.
I find another box.
I'm not interested in looking for boxes.
No.
I'm
just saying.
In following
yeah.
the instructions.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just saying if I don't like it, I'm not going
to
build
it. Why do you have to like it?
Because my name is going to be attached to it.
You,
even though we have company names, they never
so
say
let me ask you a question.
So-and-so.
I hear you. So let me ask you a question. In saying that, because that's interesting. In saying that, if you change something to what you like, a suggestion, and you change it that based on you like because you decide that you think that's ugly, and the architect decide that I wanted it like that.
It's not always ugly. It's oftentimes non-functional.
But let me ask you a question. Answer that. The architect. Mm-hmm. See, I deal with... You deal with professional architects all the time. Now, I would dare say there's not a lot of time. With the one we know you deal with a lot of times, you get to redesign his stuff. There's not a lot of time.
No.
No, good. That's the ones I tend to only work for.
Yeah.
I don't want that job.
Yeah.
They've already done that. Now, I can tell you when you do that, A, someone doesn't know a professional architect, or they went to someone who said they're a professional architect and they're not.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, my easy thing is, I just don't do those works.
Yeah.
I told someone before, they gave me a set of drawings, and I looked for the architect stamp, and I don't see no architect stamp. Yeah, no, I went, I don't do this work.
Yeah.
I don't do this work.
Yeah.
Because then I become the thing which you talk about. Then I have to I don't want to design. Then I have to think about how to best make this.
And be responsible for the changes to make it work.
Nope.
No, we shouldn't have to do that.
All the professionals.
Because as you see, we're only making a little bit.
Yeah, so all the professionals who are in the Institute of Behavior Architects, they're people I'd love to work for.
Right, yes.
Persons who are not,
yes.
I don't care to know what they
do.
Because professional liability should be what contractors also think about.
Because they're insisting on the
insurance, they're insisting on you have this,
all risk
they're insisting
insurance.
On that.
There's the other one that we have to pay, which is when other contractors
defects
make a mess
and all kind of
and stuff
it,
like
it may
that.
Be that. So
Lord love us.
You have to. So that's why I encourage, as president of the Contractors Association, I encourage contractors to define the work you do for people based on the architectural drawings and the architect's intent. Don't go ahead and change people's stuff.
Right. Was there any other parts of that message that we need to respond to, or did we do most of it?
And the secondly thing I want to talk about, too, is so that's the difference between a slab on grade and an elevated slab, which you call a slab that's above grade, that's on the second floor. The question about what would be the cost, they're trying to get this whole house built into text, the foundation, the belt the roof, and the floor slab. We have to work those costs out.
Yeah.
So stay tuned to the next episode where we start on building from the slab to the belt.
Right.
And that's going to probably take about maybe one show. We probably could get it doing one show.
Yeah.
They got all the costs for that, okay?
Yeah.
But we do have some exciting information that Debbie want to get into about a course and information for the listening public out there.
Right. So I think we have talked about this, I know, at our meetings.
Anytime.
I don't know if we've talked about it on air, but the Bahamian Contractors Association actually has a contractor's training and certification course. And we have been talking about this with our board, and we've decided that we are now ready to actually start this program. And we are hoping, I don't want to put mouth on it, but we are hoping to do something like this towards July.
The end of July.
End of July, yeah, August, we'll be, you know.
We'll be launching
yes.
The first cohort at this contract certification.
Right, so basically, would you like to go into the categories that were
in
the course?
I wouldn't say categories. Let's call it about this. So this training manual is we offered this before,
mm-hmm.
And it is something that was offered last year through another provider.
Mm-hmm.
VCA is going to go into this again, and make it the standard, as it were, for contractors in the industry. Because when I'm speaking as president, one of the things we don't do enough is focus on what is the difference between a contractor and a membership of the Mainland Contractor Association, those who are not. I can tell you that the new, and we, the board met and approved that the minimum requirement for education for membership in the BCA moving forward as of January 1st, 2025, was having done the residential builder certification course offered by the BCA, course 101,
mm-hmm.
Because it covers all of the necessary elements in it to know how to manage the construction of a home. And notice I say manage the construction
right,
of a home.
Right, but also what is a contractor and what's a contractor's job? What are they responsible for?
It goes
right?
into
goes
to all
of
those
that.
Stuff.
Yes.
So the module one, which you're looking at, this is only in this here.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is just in
right.
module two, actually. That's mm-hmm. just in tendering.
Right.
So this training program goes through four basic stages. The builder contractor is module one. Two is tendering, which is if you're going to do work in the commercial space, how do you bid a job? How do you go about tendering a bid? Estimating the works, contract negotiation, post-tender project management, project administration, project finance, which everyone fails that course because they don't know the pricing properly, work initiation, contract closeout, review, examination. And this is not all of it. And you can see this is in 2017 at the time.
Right.
You see
the board person, members that were.
You see the board members who were still there in 2017.
Yes, yes.
It's a young kid there.
Yeah.
I was a young kid.
The
facilitator at the time. So I tell you, this is very involved. So
yeah.
I just want persons to understand that if a person came to you and said they're a member of the BCA, they are different from another individual who may not be a member of the Bahamian Contractor Association.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first differentiating mm-hmm. point we want to make.
Because of the things that we bring to the table, when we have guest speakers and we have people on the radio, but we have people come to the luncheons and talk about products or courses or insurance or, you know, things that are necessary, right? So it's very important that we've been able to bring these things to people's attention
yeah.
and brand new products like the fiberglass rebar and things like that. And
hundreds of products. I mean,
hundreds.
We meet 52 times a year.
Yeah.
We meet 50. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I lie. We meet once a month. So we meet 12 times a year. Why I think we meet every week?
That's probably, you're trying to make the profit higher.
No.
Just
so we might mm-hmm. meet once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 12 times you get education.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that sounds little to you. And guess what? It sounds little to me.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a scary thought. We're the only group of contractors that meet.
Right.
So your contractors not mm-hmm. in the BCA.
Mm-hmm.
They get no education.
Right.
We meet 12 times a year.
Right.
We get education 12 times a year.
Right. So it's
at the very minimum.
Yeah. So the things that you are actually going to learn, even if you decided you didn't want to be a contractor, even if you decided that you were going to be a subcontractor or a supplier of something, you learn all of this information.
In the course.
And you can take this with you no matter where you go.
Yeah. And it becomes a foundational mm-hmm. document for anyone who's really serious about being. So I just want to run over just the first page of what's in module one.
Mm-hmm.
What is a contractor?
Right.
First thing covered. Two, how do I become a contractor?
Mm-hmm.
Three, what are my responsibilities.
Thank you.
I swear we need to talk about that all day. What are my responsibilities? Four, what training do I need to become a qualified and or certified contractor? Five, how do I form a company, Debbie?
There you go.
Because you're going to be a contractor. You're a business. How do you form a company?
And there's many different ways. You could be a limited company.
Yeah, you could be a sole proprietor.
You could be a trading as.
So all these things are covered.
Mm-hmm.
How do I market my business? I mean, you want to start a company out there and nobody knows about you. So this is
Instagram.
Essential about doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
How do I? That's just the first page.
Right.
That's the first page of this entire module.
Yeah.
There's about 300 pages to go.
Right.
So the content is there. It's incredible. It's good. It's something that I find persons cannot say they wouldn't find value in it. And so we're going to give you more information about it in the coming weeks.
Yes.
But we're going to encourage contractors. Let's get recertified. Let's take the certification course.
Mm-hmm.
All the membership in the BCA is required to have the certification before going into 2026.
Mm-hmm.
So we have between now to do your certification.
So
or else membership in 2026 is going to be a challenge.
I want to be a trainer so that I can learn it and teach it at the same time.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. And so I hope that it's encouraging, and I hope that persons are going to find it and learn it, and persons who may not be in the contractor space just want to have the information to help them as they guide them through their building process.
And we're going to try to do it on a Saturday or something so that we can, you know, people who maybe
busy through the week.
Can't
do it. Yeah.
And and maybe over a 2 week period, 2 weekend period.
It may be two, it may be three. It may go into three.
Right,
third one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it has to be at least two because there's way
too much information
in this.
You cannot do it in a day.
Yes.
You just cannot do it in one day.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're very excited about this because, it's like I said, this is something we've been talking about
for the last years
since COVID, and now it's going to become a reality. So now that we've said it on the radio, we can't back out now.
So Debbie, yes, that's true. I need you to write it down so the listening audience can remember.
Okay.
So that was phase one.
Yes.
Next week's show is phase two.
Right.
So you write it on a new piece of paper for phase two, which is we're going from exterior walls to build costs.
Okay.
So I want a person to tune in. Get your pen, your pad out, and I want a person to really learn with us as we're doing this. Exterior phase two is exterior walls to build costs of your 1,800 square foot residential home. Let's put this cost together.
Mm-hmm.
Let's figure out what it costs, because you know it's going to be exciting, the roof. I can't wait to get the roof. This is where people always get shocked. No way my roof costs that. I could go to X, Y, and Z and get all my 2x6s for X, Y, and Z. Yeah, they're going to put themselves up. Yeah, I could go and buy the material too. How's the material going to assemble your roof?
Yes.
And there's different skill levels in just putting up the rafters. Then you got to apply it. Ice and water shield is a skill set. You can screw that up terribly.
Yes, terribly. If you get too many ridges and bumps in it, you got to take it out because it'll bump the shingles.
Shingling properly is a skill set.
It is.
Your flashing options. The final thing before we get off the air. The lady saw the cost line item for me. And this is the one thing where I'm like you, Debbie. I do not price person's home with galvanized
drip
edge.
Nothing's going to rust.
Oh, got it.
No.
It's going to rust.
I do the PVC drip edge.
I do PVC, but when it comes to guttering, that's copper.
I love copper,
I'm not going to be responsible for you telling me, why would you use this up there and it's rusted out? So I use copper. It's going to last absolutely forever.
Yeah.
It costs a bit much.
Right.
But you will certainly be happy that you went
anytime
again.
Soon.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another exciting episode of Nailed It.
Thank you for your text, by the way.
Yeah, thank you for the text messages. We didn't have any calls, but we hope that you guys enjoyed the education so far. And stay tuned to another week.
Yes.
On Guardian 96.9 FM of Nailed It.
Break. But a sick this wall and crack, and they just build this house. Pay now, pay more later.
Your wall crack because I rot in steel.
I guarantee five is steel, Jack.
No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel. Steel pussy get protection from nasty men. But the sand that they use of salt and lead. And then over time, you start to rotten. And just like a flower ball crack open, eh? No steel, no big deal. Fiber rebar is better than steel, eh?
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call us at 603-4506 or 822-9527. Or visit our Facebook and IG page at Art Development BFRP. Listen, say goodbye to rust and a crack of water. Call now.
No steel, no big deal.
When we started Storm Frame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at Storm Frame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Odd Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines. Maybe even yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about machinery and energy limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.